If you've been on the same path in your career for 8, 10, even 20 years, and you've been unhappy for a while, but you keep thinking to yourself, I have no idea what else I can do. I don't have any options, or I'm only qualified for what I've always done in my career, then you really need to listen to this episode, because it's not that you don't have options. You just might be looking at your entire career through the wrong lens. In this episode, I'm breaking down why you feel stuck, the four types of career pivots that are available to you, and the one thing you need before any of it even works for you to make a successful pivot. Let's get into it. Welcome to the Fulfilling Career Podcast, a show for the professional woman who is stuck in a career that is draining the life out of her, has no idea what else she could do, and has been waiting for things to change for way too long. I'm Dr. Tega Edwin, a career counselor and coach who went from being unhappy in a job that drained me, sitting in a windowless office, wondering if this is all my life was really meant to be about, to building a career I've genuinely loved and thrived in for over 12 years now. I know what it feels like to go from drained and stuck at work to doing work that genuinely lights you up and fulfills you, and I'm here to help you do the same. Whether you're ready to pivot into a whole new career path or step into the role and recognition you've already earned in your career, this is where you are going to get clear on who you are, what fulfillment looks like for you, and how to make it happen with faith as the foundation. Let's dive in. Hello, hello, wonderful listener. Welcome back to another episode of the Fulfilling Career Podcast. Today we're talking about career pivot options, specifically the fact that you probably have more options than you think. So when I think about the clients that often come to work with me as their career coach, most of my clients have been in their careers for 8+ years. The actual average is about 12 years right now. And a good number have not only been in their career for that long, but even with the same company for 12, 15, 20 years. And they're not happy in their careers, right? That's part of why they come to me as a coach. It's like, I'm not happy, I'm not fulfilled, but they have no idea what else they can do. And usually what I often hear is this thought that you might think you have no other options in your career, or you think you're stuck in this one career path that you've been in forever, or this one industry, or this one type of role forever. And the reason, if that sounds like you, where you're thinking, okay, yes, I've been in my career for 20 years, I've been unhappy for like 5, 10, 15 of those years even, but I've stayed because what else am I supposed to do? This is all I know how to do. This is what I went to school for. If that sounds like you, I want to just start by saying the reason why you think you don't have any options is not because you don't actually have options. It's because your frame of reference, so the way that you're looking at and thinking about your career, that frame of reference is too narrow. So what do I mean? I think giving you language will make that clearer. So a narrow frame of reference usually sounds like, I don't know what else I can do. I'm not qualified for any other industries. I don't know what other jobs I'm qualified for or where else I can go. Or I've been doing this for so long, I can't do anything else. When in fact, you actually do have more options than you think. I always say, if you have worked for 5 or more years, like I could die on this hill. I don't want to die, but just saying. If you have worked for 5 or more years, you most definitely have the skills to do something entirely different in your career. At that point, you have amassed enough skills and experience to pivot. And the problem is that you're just looking at your career through the wrong lens. You're looking at, you know, your job titles and your tasks, and you're thinking, oh, I've always been an accountant, so I can only be an accountant, or I've always been a teacher, so I can only be a teacher. So in this episode, what I want to do is really help you understand why you're thinking that way. I'm just a big fan of answering the question why when I'm teaching. I think why helps, like when you understand why something exists to me, then it's easier to address or change it. So I want to help you understand why you're thinking that way, the lens that you need to be thinking with to help you see all your options. Then I'm actually going to break down the types of pivot options you have. There are 4 different options of how you can pivot, and share with you examples of what my clients have done, and share like the final, like there's one specific thing you need to actually make all of this work. So let's get into the episode. First and foremost, why do you think you don't have any options? So why am I saying your frame of reference is too narrow? Well, When you have been in one industry or one function, so I think, about it, the industry is like healthcare, tech. The function is the kind of work you've been doing, sales, marketing, teaching, okay? So when you've been in one industry or one function or one type of role for a long time, you genuinely start believing your skills only apply in that context, and that's just the nature of how your brain works. The way our brain works is the more we do something, it's like we are creating grooves, like pathways in our brain. So think about a rug, right? Think about a rug in your house, or maybe if you have like a runner going up the stairs or in a hallway. The more you walk on that rug or that runner, over time, you start seeing parts where it's like flat, where the fabric has flattened, and there are parts where it's still fluffy. And it's like the path that you walk all the time has become flattened just over. It's like the same steps back and forth, back and forth. Think about walking on a rug back and forth for 20 years. Over time, if somebody should walk into your home and they look at that rug, they will see a very clear pathway of, oh, these are the exact places that people step day in and day out. That's how I want you to think of your brain. When we do things, the more we do things, we're creating like grooves in our brain that is, I'm trying to think of how to say it. It's like it's creating a pattern, a memory for your brain where your brain starts seeing the world through the grooves that you have created in it from your daily experiences. Now, I just want to put a side note here and say these grooves are not permanent. This is what we call neuroplasticity. So it's like the plasticness of the neural pathways in our brain. You can change them. They can move. They're malleable. But that's a different conversation. Point with the skills and the tasks and your job is because you've been doing this one work for a long, long time, or you've been in this one company for a long, long time, you have created grooves in your brain that has caused your brain to just see you through that, like through those grooves that are in it, right? Like through those, it's like if you're a project manager in healthcare, there is a project manager lane in your brain that has been worn into your brain over your 10 years of doing that, that now makes your brain automatically, the automatic thought is, I can only be a project manager because that is the pathway in your brain. And I almost wish I was recording this on video because I'm doing this thing with my hand where if you're visual, you could try to visualize this with me. Fun fact, I'm not a visual person. I have something called aphantasia where literally I don't see things in my head. Really fun fact. I'm always surprised when people can see things. So like if you tell me to picture an apple right now, I can describe an apple, but I cannot see it. So that's just a fun fact for you. I'm saying that because I realize some of you are visual. So even though you can't see me, I think if I describe it well enough, you will be able to visualize it. If I was listening to myself right now, I'd be like, girl, I can't see what you're talking about. Stop that. But I'm doing this thing with my hands that I really want you to see. So I'm going to describe it to see if you can visualize it if you're a visual person. If you're not a visual person, just roll with me for a few seconds. We're going to move on. So right now I have like my left hand out in front of me. My fingers are spread. And then my right hand, I have like my thumb and my... Is the pointer finger the index finger? The one right next to the thumb. The finger right next to the thumb. And I'm just like drawing a line back and forth, like down the middle of my palm. I'm starting at the base of my palm, close to my wrist. I'm just kind of like scraping a line to the tip of my middle two fingers. And I'm doing that over and over again to picture a groove being created in your brain. And if you're visual, I just want you to imagine that. It's like your work, there's like a work-shaped groove in your brain that makes your brain only see you as the job you've done. And now, actually, I thought when I said neuroplasticity before, I thought that was a sidebar. It's not a sidebar. It's relevant. The way that we change those grooves in our brains is through intentionality. This happens with anything. So we're talking about careers, but relationships, behavior, anything. That's just how the brain works. It's why you can drive to work one day and not even remember making the turns. It's why, you know, you just move on autopilot because the grooves have kicked in. Your brain is doing, you know, it's going in its familiar patterns. The only way you can overcome those grooves that have been created is by intentionally working to create new ones. Okay, just hold on to that thought. We'll come back. But this is why if you have been a project manager in healthcare, you think you can only be a project manager in healthcare. Or if you have been an operations analyst in finance, you think you can only do financial operations forever. Or if you're a teacher in K-12, you can only teach children. What you're missing in all of this is that your skills are not industry specific. Your tasks are. Your job titles are industry or company specific. Your tasks are role, company, industry specific. Okay. But your skills are the thing that you use to complete your tasks. And your skills are not specific to an industry, a company, or a role. Your skills can move with you. So think of skills like things like stakeholder communication, risk assessment, curriculum design, building relationships. You can transfer those in many, many, many different contexts. The problem is that you have spent years doing the same tasks in the same context. So now your brain, you cannot see how those tasks break down into skills that you can apply into dozens of different environments. This is why, so let me give you another fun fact. So when I used to teach, if you didn't know this about me, I used to be a professor of counseling literally up until last year. December 2025 was my last year working as a professor. And I taught a class called counseling skills. In fact, I wrote a textbook about help and relationship skills. And whenever I would teach the class, sometimes we would do demonstrations, and because we're teaching them, you know, counseling skills, they're very basic skills that we use to help our clients. And so there'll be times when I would do a role play where I'd have a student come in front of me to be my client, and I would demonstrate the skills. So a couple of things. One, whenever I was doing that, I would legit be intentional about, okay, I want to use this specific skill. How do I do it in its simplest form and not combine it the way I would? And I'm saying that because normally I had 13 years of experience working as a counselor. So some things are just automatic to me right now. But when I'm teaching my students, I can't show them the end result, the complex version, because they don't even have the basics. And then what I would always do is I would tell the students who were watching me, the rest of the students in the class, I would say, as you watch this demonstration, I want you to think of why questions to ask me. And that's because when they asked me why questions, it forced me to slow down and try to explain my judgment, my reasoning. Why did I use this skill instead of this skill? Where was I taking the client? What did I hear the client say? I'm saying that to say, when you've been doing your job for a long time, you have likely forgotten the basics. You can do things on autopilot now. So you have forgotten how to take those big tasks that you just do on autopilot and break them down into smaller skills, the skills that are the foundation of the task, because the skills come naturally to you. And because the skills come naturally to you, the tasks come naturally to you. So you don't have to think too much about how to do your job. And because of that, you think your job is all you can do. If you slow down and we break it down and say, okay, wait, yes, you delivered a presentation to the stakeholders. What skills did you use to create and deliver that presentation? You probably had to use research skills to figure out what data to present, maybe data analysis skills to make the data make sense, communication skills to create your slides, maybe relationship skills to have the conversation and think about who's going to be in the room and how do I present this in the best way for them to understand. This is just some off the top of my head. When you have done your job so long, you forget the foundational skills that have helped you do your job. Meanwhile, those foundational skills are the very things that make you qualified to do other jobs, to go into other industries. And so we have to sort of slow down and say, okay, what skills have you developed that you can use in different contexts, different companies, different roles, different industries? Okay. So for example, let's say you are somebody who manages projects. Okay. You're not just a project manager. You probably use skills like timeline management, stakeholder communication, risk assessment, resource allocation, problem solving. All those skills can be used in other jobs that are not project management. If you are a teacher, you have skills in curriculum design, public speaking, conflict resolution, performance assessment, adapting content for different learning styles. All those skills can be used in places outside of just teaching. The reason you can't see your transferable skills is because you have been looking at your career through the lens of your tasks, the big things, the things that you do to drive results, and not the skills that you actually use to complete those tasks. Not to mention, this is a sort of sub point of this, not to mention, when you work on one path in your career long enough, you start to tie your identity to that job. So if you haven't listened to the episode before this one, episode 145, where I talk about the fear that keeps women stuck in bad jobs, you should definitely listen to that, because I talk about a concept called identity fusion, where when you stay in one career path for a long time, you fuse, you connect, you merge your identity to that one job. And when you merge your identity to that one job, meaning in your brain, you're not just someone who works in education, you are a teacher. You're not just someone who works in healthcare, you are a nurse. When you've merged your identity to your job, when you think about leaving your job, it doesn't just feel like a career change, it feels like an identity change. And identity change is so much more harder. It feels like starting from zero. It feels like you're starting over again. And so when you see yourself as the person who does X in Y industry, then you don't see yourself as someone that has a set of skills that you can take and apply in multiple contexts. And that is why you feel stuck. But once you learn that art of, okay, take a task, ask yourself, what skills did I use to complete this task? And you look at those skills and say, oh, okay, here's a list of 5 skills. Where else can I use these skills? Then you will see that you have options. And the other thing to think about is, okay, once you've done that, what type of pivot do you want to make? Because even with pivoting, when you are looking for career fulfillment, you also have multiple types of pivot options to consider. When I think about my clients, when they come to me and they're like, I don't know what else I can do. I don't know what other jobs I'm qualified for. The very first thing I'm thinking of is, okay, we don't have to start from ground zero. There are multiple different types of pivots. The one that is right for you is going to depend on what you want and what you are willing to change. And I'm going to share later in this episode how to figure out what you want. But first, I just want you to even understand the different types of pivots so that, again, the whole point of this is seeing your options. First, we know that once you separate your tasks from your skills already give you multiple options. And then when you understand the different types of ways you can pivot to find fulfillment, you'll see how much more options you even have when we are having this conversation about pivoting. Hey, if you are unhappy in your career right now, whether you are not sure what your next move is, you've tried to make a change and it hasn't worked, or you just know something needs to shift, but you don't know where to start, I want to invite you to schedule a free career clarity call with me. On this call, we'll get to the root of what is keeping you stuck in your career, and I will show you the 3 specific ways I can help you hit your career goals. You can go to hercareerdoctor.com/call to schedule your career clarity call today. Now let's get back to the episode. So there are 4 like pivot types I want to share with you. And this is, I'm thinking specifically about the things my clients have done and the different ways they have pivoted. You can take your same skills to a new industry. You can stay in the same industry, but do a new function. You can do a new role within the same company or an entirely new role in an entirely new industry. So let's talk about all 4 of those. When I think of same skills, it's you just take the skills you've been using in your career and apply them in a different industry. So this would be if I think of one of my clients, she was a mental health counselor and she became an operations specialist. She did not go back to school for anything. She did not get any new certifications or any new credentials. She already had the skills when she had been a mental health. She was a counselor and an intake support specialist, something like that. And so we just marketed those skills for a new industry, which was legal. And she transitioned to the circuit court to become a legal operations specialist. I had another client who went from a project engineer in manufacturing to become an Oracle subject matter expert in tech. Again, exact same skills she already had. We just clarified which skills she wanted to use, which skills she thrived in, and marketed it for a new role. So taking the exact skills you already have and just positioning it for a new industry and a new role in that industry. The second option is same industry, but new function. So you stay in the industry you're in right now, but you shift into a different type of role. So I would say, think about a teacher who becomes a curriculum designer or an instructional coach, or a healthcare nurse who becomes a healthcare consultant or a training specialist for nurses. So you're using your industry knowledge that you already have to make this pivot. You're just going to use it in a different way, doing a different function within your same industry. Then the third option is you get a new role within your same company. So you make a pivot internally. Maybe you're able to communicate with your manager what you want to do, and then you're able to transition into a new function within the same organization. One of my clients actually did this where she was in a tech role in her company. And after she got clarity, she was able to tell her manager she wanted to do something more creative and the skills she wanted to use. And she pivoted into marketing within the same company. I personally think like this one is the lowest risk pivot because you already have relationships and credibility built internally. However, I also think this only makes sense if your company is healthy. Because sometimes you're like, I'm actually in a good, healthy company. I'm just bored. I'm not growing. I don't like my job. So that this option could make sense. But if you're in a toxic environment, I'm always trying to get you out of the toxic environment for the sake of your health. So I wouldn't recommend this option. And then the fourth option is an entirely new role in an entirely new industry. So this is where you're making, like, this is, to me, this is the biggest leap because you're taking your transferable skills and you're applying them in a whole new field, doing a whole new different type of work. So some ways that my clients have done this is I've had clients who have gone from academia to corporate consulting, from nonprofit to government, from tax accounting to fine arts nonprofit. And I've had a stay-at-home mom who went from being a stay-at-home mom to designer. I think this one can sound scarier, but again, if you know your skills and how to position your skills, it is absolutely possible. So all these examples I'm giving you are examples of the types of pivots that my clients have made. Some stayed in their industries, some changed roles, some changed industries entirely, some stayed within their company. So to me, there's no one right way to make a pivot. The real question is, where are you feeling unsettled in your career right now? What do you really want in your career? And what are you willing to change to get what you want in your career? And this leads me to the biggest mistake that I see people making when trying to pivot. And this was when I said the one thing that you need before you can pivot successfully is I think that a lot of people, when they are thinking about doing something else in their career, the way they start the process is they go to a job board and start scrolling. And when they're doing that, everything either looks boring or terrifying. So they close the tab and they tell themselves that there are no good options out there for them. They can't do anything else and they stay stuck in that job. Meanwhile, the problem was not the options they were looking at. The problem is that you do not have any criteria that you're using to evaluate the options that you're looking at. You are trying to explore careers that are available to you without even knowing what you're looking for. And this is like walking into a grocery store without a list of what you're looking to buy and expecting to come out with a meal plan for the week. It's not going to work. You need clarity before you need options. Your order of operations for your pivot are wrong. You think you need to find options and then pick one and then you pivot. No, that's backwards order of operations. You need clarity. Then you look at the options and pick one and then you market yourself to land that option. So you need to know, what are your values? What are your interests? What skills do you actually enjoy using? Not just the skills you have because you've been working for 15 years, but the skills that make you feel good. What kind of work environment do you thrive in? What kind of role will energize you instead of drain you? Once you have that clarity, then you can start exploring options because now you have parameters. You have a lens by which you can evaluate if a role is going to be a fit for you or not. This is why when I coach my clients, we do not start with job searching. We start with self-assessment. Always, always, we get clear on, okay, what are your values? What are your interests? What are your skills? How can we figure out what roles you're aiming for based on what actually aligns with who you are? Because the intersection of those three things, your values, interests, and skills, is at the intersection of that that we find the roles that are going to feel good for you, pay you what you desire, and help you thrive. Only when we have that clarity do we start mapping your skills to job descriptions. Only then do we start positioning your experience in a way that makes sense outside of your current context. Because when we have a target role that you're trying to land, now with my clients, I can ask them the right questions. I can help them see where they have done something similar in a different context. But if you don't know what you're aiming for, if you have no idea what role you want to land, we're then just guessing, like guessing, okay, you have these skills, you have that skills, and guessing is just going to keep us stuck. It's going to keep you stuck. So you need clarity first and foremost. What do you want? When I said that, y'all, okay, another fun fact. You're getting all the fun facts of this episode. I've never watched The Notebook. I know, it's a classic. I've never watched The Notebook, but I have seen a clip multiple times where they're standing in the rain and he's looking at her and he's like, what do you want? And I just thought about that. But my point is, I need to watch, now that I said that in public, I'm like, I should probably really go watch The Notebook so that I can say that I finally watched it. Anyway, my point is, you cannot pivot without clarity. It is literally impossible. Because where are you going? What are you pivoting into? What skills do we need to highlight? What accomplishments do we need to highlight? What outcomes do we need to point out? If we don't know what it is you're looking for, then we don't know what we're marketing you for or positioning you for. So you need to be able to have clarity before you make a pivot. Okay? So just a quick recap of like the key things, and then I want to share some questions I often get. Separate your tasks from your skills. Separate your identity from your job. Look at the different types of pivot options that are available to you. Figure out what role you want to land, and then you can market your skills for that job you're aiming for. Now, it is usually at this point in the conversation that I hear things like, okay, but I don't have the right credentials. I need to get certified before I can make a move. So I'm always like, do you need a credential or do you want a credential? Because those are not the same, right? Like you need a credential if it is legally required for the job. For example, I was a counselor. In counseling, you need a master's degree to become licensed. In some states, you need a certification in specific fields to work in those fields. Like if you're going to do family counseling, you need a family counseling certificate. So if it is a requirement, yes, get the credential. If there is a clear ROI on the credential, meaning you know it will directly lead to a higher salary, a promotion, or access to a specific role, then it might make sense. But in my experience, a lot of times you think you need a credential when what you actually want is confidence. You think the degree or the certificate or the credential is going to make you qualified, but it's really just giving you permission to try. And you do not need permission to try. You're probably already qualified. So ask yourself, do I need a credential or am I looking for a false sense of confidence that I get from a credential? Because all a credential is for the most part is more information. You don't need more information when you already have the skill to do the job. Okay? A few years ago, for example, I remember a few years ago, just even from my experience, it was harder to get into an HR role without some kind of HR certificate. But now I know people who are going into HR without a certificate. The rules are not as rigid as you think they are. So do your research first. Look at the job you're targeting. Look at the job postings for that job and see what is actually required versus what is preferred. If a degree or a credential is not required, then my friend, you don't need it. Okay? Do your research and then decide, is this credential worth the time and the money? And I will say as a caveat, I know some people who they want to get credentials more for professional development. They're like, I like learning. I like developing the skills. If that's you, that's fine. Get the credential. I'm just saying, if you are making it a requirement when it is not a requirement, that's what I'm actually trying to call out. I don't want you to do that. Okay? So it is absolutely possible for you to pivot into doing something entirely new in your career. You're not too old to pivot. You have the experience you need. You have the skills that you need. And there are companies that value your age, your longevity, your experience, your wisdom. And you might be listening to me and you might be thinking, okay, I've been in my company for 10 years, for 15 years, for 20 years. I don't want to leave. It feels like a betrayal. I just have to be loyal to them. Look, seriously, I hear this. You might not know that you think this, so just pause and think. Like, do you feel okay leaving your company? If you don't, is there a part of you that feels like you have to be loyal to them because of all they've done for you? And here's what I need you to understand. your company is not loyal to you. This is going to sound morbid, but if you die today, they will replace you tomorrow. It's just business. They're not loyal to you. You are the CEO of your career, which means your priority should be growing your career, which means you are pursuing experiences, knowledge, skills that will help you be better to grow your career. When a company stops being beneficial for your career, meaning you're not growing, you're not learning new skills, you're not advancing, you're not making more money, it's no longer beneficial, it's time for you to go somewhere else. And this is not being selfish, by the way, because when you are happy and thriving in your career, the company will automatically benefit. You don't owe your company misery and being miserable. Especially when the longer you stay in that company, the more terrified you're going to be to leave. Today is the day to leave, not yesterday, not tomorrow, today. Because if you stay, your brain is going to keep telling you this job that's killing you slowly is safe. And that's just your brain doing what your brain does. Your brain is going to keep saying, remember those grooves I talked about at the beginning? Your brain, like you have grooved a pathway that to your brain, this is safe. But is it really safe? If your job is exhausting you, if it's negatively impacting your mental and physical health, if you don't have joy because of your job, if you're not confident, if you're not earning as much as you could earn, if you're not saving towards retirement, is your job really safe? Because to me, the answer is no. So maybe the question you should be asking is not, is it safe to leave? Maybe it's, is it safe to stay? Because what is going to happen to you if you stay in that job? I want you to think about that. So you have way more options than you think. I know that the fear or the belief that you have no options has kept you in that job that is killing you slowly. So let this be your permission, your reminder, your notice that you have more career pivot options than you think. The problem isn't that you don't have options. It's that you have been looking at your career through a narrow lens. When you learn to separate your job titles and tasks from your skills, you will see that you have a ton of value to bring to another organization, a ton of skill to do something different. And when you get clarity about what that something different is for you, you will start approaching your pivot with a lot more confidence and strategy. Okay. And then you'll see that the world is your oyster. You have options, and those options are open to you. So I hope that this episode has helped you think about your career differently and your ability to make a pivot. If you need to go listen to it again, listen to it again, just to help you really cement that sense of task versus skill. And remember that I'm always here to support you as a career coach. If you ever need to have a conversation about what it would look like for me to support you, you can always just schedule a free career clarity call with me. If you go to hercareerdoctor.com/call, you can book a free call where we'll talk more about what's going on in your career, where you're feeling stuck with your pivot, why you think you have no options. And I will break down the three specific ways that I will help you pivot and land a higher paying, more fulfilling job that you love. Thank you for listening. If you found this episode helpful, please don't forget to leave us a review or rating on whatever platform you're listening on. It helps the channel grow. And I will catch you on the next episode. If you are done waiting for things to get better on their own and you're ready to get clear on what your next career move actually is, I want to invite you to schedule a free career clarity call with me. You can go to hercareerdoctor.com/call. On the call, we'll talk about where you are in your career right now, where you want to be, and exactly what it will take to help you hit those career goals so you can be fulfilled in your career while getting paid well. Again, that URL is hercareerdoctor.com/call. And that link is also going to be in the episode description below. I can't wait to talk with you.